numbers increase to be sure that there's not something that comes along that is rare but unexpected and that needs to be taken into account.
Children have not been tested at this point. Is that right? Kids under 14?
That's correct. That's correct.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there, but we're not going to let you off the hook. We're having you back on. Do you think it's possible for people in this country, for, as Joe Biden says, 100 million people to be vaccinated in the first 100 days of his administration?
I think that's stretching it, frankly. It would be wonderful if so. I really would prefer to get if I get a first shot, I'd prefer to get a second shot because that's where the 95% effectiveness lies. But I'm at this point, I think anything that's going to get this process accelerated will be a good thing.
Dr. Peter Salk, his father, Dr. Jonas Salk, developed the first polio vaccine. We thank you so much for being with us. Now a professor of infectious disease and microbiology at University of Pittsburgh. We'll link to your piece. I'm Amy Goodman. Wear a mask. It's an act of love.
This is KBOO Portland. It's 8 a.m. It's Friday. Mind that gap, because we're going to bridge it. Girls are powerful. Stay tuned.
Portland and the world. How are you? This is the one and only The Gap with Tammy, myself, and Althea Billings. How are you, Althea?
I'm doing all right. Good to be here this morning.
Yeah, it's a beautiful rainy day, like, you know, just the beautiful Pacific Northwest day. And we also have Sonia. Sonia, how are you?
I am great. I am very not rained on.
Oh,
that's good. That's good.
That's a flex.
You know,
how'd you do that?
I weave
not to brag, but I haven't been rained on today.
It's definitely a flex, especially when, you know, when it is raining. You know, it's not. Mm. It's easy to not, you know, get rained on when it's not raining. So, kudos on it for that. Other than, I can't say the same. My socks are wet, which is one of my biggest pet peeves, but march on, move on, and that's what I'm, you know, doing. You know, like Tony said, this is The Gap where we are minding and bridging, so, you know, there is that. It's Friday, another beautiful end to this week, another week in the final episode of America, as some would say, and we are just a couple of days away from the 2021 inauguration. We are just a couple of weeks in front of the insurrection that happened on January 6th at the Capitol. So we're right in a sweet spot, as they say, between a rock and a hard place, or a sweet spot, or, you know, depending how you look at it, I think.
In the gap, you could say.
We
didn't even plan that, you guys. That's exciting. Wow.
We are in the gap. we have a lot to talk about what happened. We're going to mostly be in our realm of social media. Shout out everyone, because everyone has social media. But, not everyone anymore. And we are going to talk about that. Some people aren't allowed on there anymore. Pinterest is going to be an emptier place now, I guess.
Pour one out for Trump being banned from Pinterest. I say.
And Spotify. I mean, hey, you
and
know,
Spotify,
no,
Shopify.
No podcasting for him, I guess.
No.
Yeah. So, but before we get into it, per usual, just trying to be neighborly and friendly and see, you know, how was your week? Anything new for you happening, Althea?
That's a great question. I don't know. I was really proud of myself last week because I completed some projects around the house. And you know, it's like, oh, I just have a picture that I haven't hung up, and you can I've left it there for months. And for what? And for what reason? No reason. So I was feeling pretty excited about accomplishing some of that, you know, trying to improve one's own environment. Is my room clean? Absolutely not. Is my work desk in any kind of manageable situation? I'd give it a 3 out of 5. But you know, something to work on over the weekend, I guess.
Yeah, I remember when we were doing our episode about intentions for the year, you were talking about wanting to be more mindful of your environment. I'm glad that you're, you know, sharing your progress with us. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Sonia, anything new happening for you? Anything exciting you want to share or just whatever?
Oh, well... my fifth level cleric has gained some deep and important insights into the nature of the foe that our party has been commissioned to. What would you say? Deal with.
In polite company, we say deal with.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
That's great. Yeah.
Are you playing? I'm assuming it's D&D. Are you playing virtually?
Yes.
Okay. That's cool.
I remember Caber used to have like a D&D hour. I wonder whatever happened to that. That's fantastic. Hey, you know, community.
Myself,
although no one asked me. I'm just.
Someone play D&D with me and Tammy. We want to play. Invite us to your D&D game. Just kidding. Don't.
I wouldn't mind. I like imagination. It sounds cool, especially when there's like someone that's leading it. So, but I think
no,
my imagination has probably been over time. So I might want to tether myself to reality. Actually, yesterday was a beautiful day.
It sure
I took
was.
A really long walk with the dog and also myself. So, you know, shout out to the sunshine for doing its thing.
Yeah. I had
the
thing where I was
great.
I was driving and I had to put on sunglasses and that was really exciting. I was like, oh my gosh, do you remember summer? I mean, this isn't the sun is related to this.
I was thinking maybe winter is kind of like is having the day off or something and summer is like, okay, I'll sub for the day because it was ridiculously nice outside yesterday.
Yeah, winter got its shift covered.
Yeah, right? That's what I was thinking. Woof. Well, I guess we can get started with our conversation for the day. And we are going to start off with, it's going to mostly be talking about social media and the role that it has been playing in, well, the last 4 years, but also more specifically within the insurrection and also, like, the misinformation that we've all been kind of suffering from. But first, we'll talk about the ban, since Trump has been banned from social media, and also Parler. What's going on? Or Parlay? Friends of the show know that. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't know that we've settled if it's Parler or Parlay. But
yeah, friends of the show know.
Friends of the show know we don't know. But if you want, we did a whole episode related to Parler. It's our back episodes are on kbu.fm/thegap if anyone is interested in delving into our history with Parler.
Yeah, and even the anchors from ABC or NBC, they didn't know either. So, you know, mm-hmm. It's we're all the same boat. But Parler/Parlay, well, a lot of things are happening there. Amazon decided that they're going to not carry them in the App Store.
I can explain
the beginning
it.
And I can give some updates from what's happening in the last 24 hours?
sure. Yeah. So I think it was, time is hard to keep track of. I'll be honest. It's gotten more difficult lately, but today is the, what's today?
Friday. Today's Friday the 15th.
18th. The 15th. Okay. So it was like 9 days ago. So like this Monday or thereabouts, Amazon Web Services was like the server hosting parlor. And so they stopped hosting them, and also the Apple App Store and Google Play stores like deleted them from the App Store. So now they don't have like a home on the internet because their servers have to be housed somewhere, especially when you're talking about like the magnitude of like a whole social media network. And then also you can't even download them from the App Store if you wanted to.
And the reason that they were banned from the App Store was because, well, reports, as well as, I mean, a lot of people, as well as, you know, like the DOJ and the FBI are seeing that there is a correlation between Parler and the insurrection that took place on January 6th. Now, there are people that are saying that, that are objecting to this, that are saying, there is no correlation. What are you talking about? But as of last 13 hours, The Verge reports that Parler Archives is being converted into an interactive map of the Capitol building attacks. Developer of this is called, not even kidding, Patriotic, and the map name is called Y'all-Qaeda, and it connects GPS coordinates with videos that were being taken and uploaded onto Parler. So, like, you really can't, there isn't a lot of wiggle room, in my opinion, to say that, no, Parler didn't take place at all. Online organizing is something that we've seen, you know, from 2011 with the Arab Spring to TikTok teens and TikTok users organizing on that platform to, purchase all the tickets for Trump rallies so that, you know, pro-Trump folks won't be able to show up. So to say that online organizing doesn't exist, I think, is just a bold-faced lie. As of Tuesday, there are over 160 open investigations with the Department of Justice. And after the attack on the 6th, Parler became the number one app in the App Store, and that's when Google and Apple removed it. Developer name is called Patriotic, and the map name is called Y'all-Qaeda, which is it's interesting that they chose that.
I'm struggling to come up with a reaction to that.
Well, there's more. Business Insider reports that Parler sued Amazon after it was taken off of its platform, and Parler is saying that it was politically motivated and anti-competitive because Twitter was still on Amazon Web Services. In return, Amazon cited over 100 examples of violent content. Now, we can say, in my mind, I was thinking, well, you know, Facebook has some pretty hateful stuff on there too, but unlike Parler, which prides itself in being a place where you do not get deplatformed for saying things that are outrageous, homophobic, racist, not nice things.
Bigoted in any number of ways.
Yeah, they pride themselves on not taking it down. So I think that's kind of the difference where, you know, the argument can be made there where, oh, Facebook will put you in what people like to call, quote unquote, Facebook jail if you say something outlandish, as opposed to Parler, and it also prides itself in doing that. Mm-hmm. And most recently on Thursday in Seattle, the district judge, Barbara Rothstein, and I'm quoting, signaled that she will consider issuing a preliminary injunction prohibiting Amazon to deny services to Parler rather than a temporary restraining order as Parler had requested. Now, I know, Sonia, you have some background in criminology. Can you explain that a little bit, what a preliminary injunction means?
Well, criminology isn't law, though. But preliminary injunction is where... The court orders that, all right, until we know more about whether to block this or not, nothing's going to move forward.
So they're going to definitely be looking into it some more, as opposed to a temporary restraining order like Parler had wanted. So there's definitely going to be more of an investigation going forward, and not just like an immediate response or an immediate ruling, which in my personal opinion, Sammy's opinion, I think that's good. You know, you gotta investigate. And I think there's a lot of moving parts in this, and the fact that the DOJ and the FBI are on it retroactively, as much as it's, you know, some people, I know last week, you know, we were saying, where were the cops, where all of this, and there are things being done now to retroactively get these people that attacked the Capitol building. But, you know, the means are also, you know, something that, you know, is up to discussion, whether a changing government will use these type of tools for good or evil is up to, you know, only future can tell. History has showed us that usually governments use it for evil, so there is that. But yeah, that's kind of where we stand with Parler / Parlay right now. I guess you could say we're parlaying on Parler. Mm. A little joke.
Mm-hmm. Definitely said that one back in November, but I'm happy we're bringing it back.
Time is cyclical. It doesn't exist anymore, actually. But Trump is now off of Twitter and Facebook and Pinterest.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of social media companies that have banned Trump. Between, I think, like over the weekend after the insurrection, so like, you know, between the last show and this show, he got banned from a bunch of stuff, including platforms that I'm unclear if he was actually active on, like Spotify, like Twitch. I think he got banned from like Google, the search engine. But this, like, all of these social media companies have taken the same action.
Fascists have shown repeatedly that whenever they're denied one platform, they will seek to invade another.
Right, right.
I hope that no one invades Pinterest, because that's the only wholesome place I have left in this world. So please don't. Leave Pinterest alone. I wonder if they all did that also to be like kind of like a united front. That like Sonia said, you know, so they can be like, no, you are not, you know, we're not going to take this we don't want this user on our platform. While it's, you know, a slippery slope, I wonder also, like, if Trump was to stay, let's say, for example, like on Twitter, but was banned from Facebook, if now Twitter will become like the new Parler, you know? So I think that these companies also want to consider what they are going to attract through having specific people on their platform. But again, in my opinion, it's a slippery slope. You know, in this specific instance, maybe there's a lot of proof, like the proof is in the pudding. I personally think so. But yeah, like I said, governments change. We can't always count on them to have our best interests. And the more tools that we give them, some would say this is a Patriot Act number two. We all know how that can work out. What was that?
The calls I've been seeing are not for expanded police powers to monitor and surveil organizing on social media. It's more about, hey, you know how about allowing Black Lives Matter and other liberation movements to organize as freely and without interference as 3%ers and Proud Boys. You know, how about allowing liberation movements for BIPOC folks and LGBTQ folks to organize as freely and unhindered as right-wing paramilitaries, if we're going to do that.
Right, right.
We're not asking, like, one post put it, that they weren't asking, they weren't calling on the government, or yeah, they weren't calling
well,
on.
We should be calling on specific about if it's the social media companies or the government that we're talking about to take action.
Mm-hmm.
They're two separate things.
Yes, and slippery slope is called a logical fallacy for a reason. Yeah, you know, it's like there are other steps that have happened that have already occurred before. Again, private platforms are taking these steps,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that different groups with different aims take similar tactics of direct action doesn't make them the same thing, and doesn't mean that the exact same response is appropriate.
Right. I'm wondering if we have a little explanatory clip here from ABC News with a little TikTok sprinkled in. Could we maybe play that to kind of get ourselves grounded in what's going on right now, which would include both the social media bans that Trump is facing and Parler's web hosting problems?
Coming right up.
Sweet.
Now to the social media crackdown in the aftermath of the Capitol Hill siege. In addition to Twitter banning President Trump, the conservative app Parler has been removed from most major app stores. Rebecca Jarvis has the latest there.
This morning, President Trump's social media has been silenced. Twitter, the platform where the president boasted a following of more than 88 million, making the unprecedented move to ban him permanently, following similar bans by Facebook, Instagram, Reddit, and Twitch. Trump doubling down in a statement accusing Twitter of banning free speech, adding, "We will not be silenced." In response, many conservatives saying they would move their social media to self-proclaimed free speech app, Parler. The platform temporarily the most downloaded app in Apple's store until it was removed by both Apple and Google.
Parler is likely a billion-dollar company. Poof, it's gone. But it's more than just the financial aspect to that. Republicans have no way to communicate.
The bans, leaving some to ask if First Amendment rights are being violated.
These are private companies. They are not public squares. And unfortunately, a lot of the people who are complaining, many of whom work in Congress, haven't really read the First Amendment, which says Congress shall make no law against abridging freedom of speech. It doesn't say that that Facebook or Twitter or Apple or anybody should make no law. They can do whatever they want. They're private businesses.
And now Amazon Web Services, which hosts Parler, suspending service to the platform, a move that forces the site offline. Parler CEO calling the move an attempt to completely remove free speech off the internet.
I simply don't judge anyone, but this video will not be making it to this person because they are banned from TikTok. They are also banned from a plethora of social media apps. Donald Trump, how? How do you get banned from Google, a search engine? Ew, I bet you're sitting at your house on Bing, on Bing, on Bing. You're also banned from Spotify. Who was you communicating through? Spotify, not Donald Trump trying to release music. Not only that, Pinterest decided to ban you. Were you making racist mood boards? You was putting black people and monkeys together in little mood boards? I'm so confused on how and why. You was a terrorist. Like, if Spotify, Google, and Pinterest have to ban you, you was a menace to society. You need to go. Just go. Leave office.
A menace to society.
You're a menace to society if all three of those teamed up to get rid of you. That was a clip from ABC News and TikTok user Nikoya. If you check out our webpage a little later today, I'll have the original video linked.
I didn't realize Trump was banned from Bing. I didn't even know Bing was still around. But
oh, I don't know. I think she's saying if you're banned from Google, you must be using Bing. Which, when has Bing been in the news recently? Let's check on Bing. Is Bing okay? What are they up to?
Oh, my. Racist mood boards on Pinterest. My goodness. I hope not. Leave Pinterest alone. Don't touch it. We have one thing left in this life that's wholesome. Leave it alone, please. The report made a really interesting point in the beginning where they're saying these are private companies and, you know, they don't have any allegiance to the people. They don't at all. They have allegiance to their bottom line. And so, you know, it makes you wonder with what we are seeing, you know, with, you know, the way that they are, A, responding to the fact that they did kick Trump off of all of these platforms. It makes me wonder, so you see what you're doing. You do see that there is something that you are doing that is creating something, you know, like not to get too specific, but they do see that they do have some sort of power of extreme influence to the point that they are, you know, removing POTUS from social media. You know, just to mention, like, the president can still speak to the people through numerous ways of, like, he has a whole communications office, a secretary of press. I mean, there are ways to get in touch with the people if need be. So, you know, it's not like the president is being silenced and then won't be able to talk to the people in case of an emergency or something. So that's definitely not what is going on, just a point to make.
Right. And I think it's interesting, we were talking a little bit before about how social media companies have kind of put up this united front, which I think in some ways helps to shield any individual platform from getting all of the heat of, you know, conservative and alt-right people being like, hey, what the heck? You can't ban us like this. You know, we'll boycott, we'll do this, we'll do that.
It's kind of showing that it's not Twitter. Like, when it's not... If it's Twitter and Facebook and Pinterest and that, clearly the problem is something else.
Right. And I think that it's something that they've probably wanted to do for some amount of time. I was reading that, you know, there's like internal pressure within these social media companies from people that work there, from people that code these apps, you know, saying, why are we letting this go on? And so I think that having it is a little bit opportunistic, and I totally sympathize with the idea that it's a little bit too little too late, that this has gone on for so long and now you want to do it. But there's another aspect that I think is worth bringing up, which is that there's a new administration in town in T-minus 5 days. And what we know about a democratically controlled government is that they have, both Democrats and Republicans have problems with big tech. And we've talked about the hearings that Congress has had. Republicans' problem, as evidenced by the clip that we played, and obviously what they're upset about right now, is like that they feel that their speech is being censored, that conservative views are not able to be expressed. And that's like what Parler was created to try to get at. But Democrats want to go after big tech for, you know, trust busting, that the Facebook and Instagram merger, Facebook owning WhatsApp, that the idea that Facebook is way too big and that those were like illegal mergers that give them way too like a monopolistic market share. There's also the whole like, what kind of information are you holding on to about everybody? You know, we had Cambridge Analytica and finding out about that in 2017.
Ooh,
throwback.
Ooh. I
think there's also a little bit of like virtue signaling from social media companies to the incoming administration, to a now democratically controlled government. It's like, no, we're cool. You don't need to like comb through our books and break up our mergers, right? Like, you don't need to enact new privacy policies, you know, trying to get in somebody's good graces about it.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm buying
Cambridge
that.
Analytica.
All right, where do I get it?
Cambridge
Analytica.
Yeah, you
sounded like you wanted to say something.
Oh, I sure do.
Yeah, go for it.
Regular listeners, however you consume Democracy Now, in this market, it's probably through KABU. Probably heard on Monday morning the connection between bigwigs at Cambridge Analytica and the founders of Parler.
No way.
Oh, yes way.
Oh, I'm Googling.
That's frightening. Although, you know, that was 2016. It's like you said, I think it's a little too little too late. So I think there is a big factor of, you know, like you said, kind of signaling to the incoming administration Yeah, we're good. You don't got to look into our books. No. Yeah, we got a checkered past, but I promise I'll be good to you. I promise. Which I you know, is definitely an interesting point. I'm glad you brought that up. And so that brings us kind of to our next point and our audience question, which we will start taking calls after our midway song. But the question is kind of, you know, what is social media's accountability? Or should it be held accountable for anything? Should it become part of the First Amendment so that it can be crafted and monitored in the same, you know, have like the same standards as you know, as the press or as people or, you know, whatever have you, because the fact that they are private companies and they do not have allegiance to the people, if they get added to the First Amendment, you know, social media or however they'd want to phrase it, well, would that be a good idea? Should that even happen? You know, what, you know, I have so many questions.
Right.
The big one is, what is social media's responsibility as far as we go with the information, the insurrection, and should it be held accountable moving on, which is, we would love to hear audiences' takes on that. And before we go to the midway song, anyone have any final thoughts about Parler and the Trump
I do.
Media ban? Go for it, please.
The issue here is not whether social media platforms or you know can control who gets to use them. The issue is whether they should be able to control the venue for a public discourse.
Mm-hmm. Right, and currently they don't. Currently, they are private companies who do not have responsibilities to uphold the idea of freedom of speech because that protects you from the government. You have a right to say stuff. The government can't come after you for it. You don't necessarily have a right to be listened to.
Yes,
which I think
but
is what conservatives have a problem with.
Do Facebook and Twitter hold like a de facto control over people's ability to speak?
Hmm.
You know, like, what venue for public discourse is there? And do Facebook and Twitter and other and social does social media hold an unwarranted level of control over that sphere?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what yeah, sort of commons do we have?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do want to say. Listeners, give us a call, 503-231-8187. We would love to hear your thoughts about what the responsibility and role of social media companies should be or what their responsibility is in the aftermath of the insurrection. 503-231-8187.
After the break.
Should we hit that midway song?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
He can pick me up and nothing be mine to soda. He it's easy. It's easy, easy, baby. Ha ha, it's easy. It's easy, easy, baby.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. I'm Tammy. On the line with me is my co-host, Althea, and we also have Sonia. Hello, everyone. That was a beautiful, calming track by artist Denya called Easy Baby. And today we are talking about social media. That's right. We hit the beginning part where you were talking about Parler, the Trump social media ban. And now we are asking listeners for their opinions as far as social media's responsibility. Should it be held responsible for any of the, well, many of the numerous things that we've seen happening and being organized through there? And what is social media? What is it, the actual responsibility? Should it be held responsible? And, you know, things of that nature. Again, the phone number is 503-231-8187. I said that right this time. Althea, any thoughts? Thank you.
Well, yeah, in our lovely little break there, I've been reading about what Sonia mentioned about the about Parler and Cambridge Analytica, and I wanted to highlight one thing that we did talk about in that show that we talked about Parler, that they collect your driver's license or your passport photo, and if you want to be verified, you have to have your their social security number. And when you think about that in the context of Cambridge Analytica having their fingers in it, that's extra scary. They're collecting way more information than on you than other social media platforms do.
Yeah, I remember we were mentioning that in our previous episode. We have our archived episode up on the website, kboo.fm. The fact that there is this, you know, interactive map that's being developed right now called Yalkata, you know, it's connecting GPS coordinates with videos that were uploaded to Parler. But then they also have people's really intimate information, like driver's license IDs, in some cases people that are verified or want to, I guess, monetize on their website, they have to put in their provide their social security number, which is terrifying. So I'm getting stressed just thinking that someone gave their social security number to Cambridge Analytica. Like, woof.
Oh, man. People definitely did. We got a caller on the line, Joan.
Thank you for allowing me to weigh in on this, although it's a different point of view. I've been saying for a long time that if I was in charge of Twitter, Mr. Twitter, and I realized that the President of the United States was actually trying to make policy through this stupid means, I would have said to myself, you know what? I've earned plenty of money in my life. I'm closing this thing down. I don't know if folks really remember when there was no such thing as social media. There were protests. There was society. The advent of this whole concept of social media has been a social disaster, and they have the power that we give them. If we don't use it, if we don't use Amazon, if we don't use Facebook, if we decide that all of this has become a way of state surveillance, if we continue to participate and give people our social security numbers and use these stupid platforms, then of course we're dependent on it and it controls us. I think it's time to step back from it and look at it and say, there's got to be another way to do stuff. There's got to be another way to organize. Not everybody has the capacity to use social media. For one thing, it requires equipment that a lot of people can't afford. So it's an elitist thing right away. The second thing is that the use of the devices do not protect the environment, because the machines, the devices that we use require special, elements, special things that have to be mined.
Rare earth minerals.
Disaster. You probably know that already. It was revealed on NPR. Their show Reveal had a lot to say about that. A lot of the minerals are mined in third world countries by slaves, by people who are forced to do this horrible work, which is extremely toxic, strip mining of mountaintops in other countries. Meanwhile, we're saying, oh, we're saving trees. I know a lot of people love social media. People always have their heads in their phones. I think it's turning us into a nation of sheep, in a way, and putting us under the direct control of people who can manipulate these devices and these systems. And I think we should step back. We've got the creativity to invent something else. And I'm thrilled that, you know, finally these people have stepped up to the plate and saying, the President of the United States does not govern through Twitter. You know, let's look at it. And I
well,
think
I
that if you,
you
don't them. Want to support the companies, we don't have to support them. They're taking our money mm-hmm. because we're giving it to them, or some people are giving it to them. That's an old school look, but my philosophy has been for a long time, hello everybody, analog backup. It's too easy to pull the plug, and the plug can be pulled from us or from anybody. We should not be
right.
dependent on it. Excuse the rant. I'm sorry that I'm ranting. But
no,
I've been
I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate your perspective. Yeah. Well, and I think it's one of those tough things because, you know, I think everybody out there has some kind of gripe with social media, whether it's, you know, you get weird stuff in your algorithm or, you know, you're shadow banned by Facebook,
please.
Whatever it is, right?
Let's not even go to algorithms. I work with people who have, disabilities of various kinds, including intellectual disabilities. People who use these things are subject to being, you know, trafficked and scammed and fooled and bullied. People commit suicide because what happened, you know, on social media. There was a picture in the paper of this cute little boy going to bed with his iPhone like it was some kind of a teddy bear. And these things also can cause physical disability. You know, all the people with carpal tunnel syndrome, the whole thing. I just, you know what I mean. I'm going
yeah,
too far.
Totally.
But
I appreciate
I think
you,
that we're participating in this. We are encouraging it. We are making Mark Zuckerberg richer than anyone has the right to be. And we have
right.
the power to stop it.
Right. Well, and I think the reason that it's hard to tear it down is that it is so often made an individual decision. If I'm not on Instagram, that's my personal decision. But
correct.
That's really a drop in the bucket in terms of, you know, sweeping kind of change that could actually benefit people, right? Like having to have the individual make the choice if it is right for them to do it can lead to, you know, people not being able to make informed choices, especially, you know,
these
algorithms and stuff.
I think people should and do have, if someone wants to continue to use that, I think they do have the perfect right to do it. I'm saying those of us who are thinking about social change and so on and so forth have to realize that on social media, nothing is private. Nothing.
Right.
The Hillary Clinton example is the perfect example. So why do this? Why just, you know, advertise yourself that way? At the same time, why was Trump trying to destroy the U.S. mail? You think about that. Because it is private.
Yeah, definitely. You bring out a lot of really great points. And the fact that we are the ones that create the content for all of these platforms, as you say, if we didn't update, check in, you know, do all these things, there would be nothing on these platforms. So it's not like Facebook is creating content for us to consume. We're like, oh, this is so great. We're consuming the product, our own product that we are putting out there. And a great book by Tim Wu called Attention Merchant about how all of these things, they also, you know, social media is also an addiction to a lot of people. You also have people that are like younger that grew up with this, and it's kind of the only way of socializing that they know. And that's not, you know, an excuse or anything, because another good point that you said, there was organizing before social media. There was a world before social media. This is all, you know, this is all true. And I wonder, considering that, you know, the things are changing and evolving, I wonder, you know, what social media will look like in the future. I think right now the internet is kind of the wild, wild west where things aren't necessarily moderated. And I think that we are seeing maybe like the building block towards a different type of social media or internet experience, you know, for the future. But those are all really great points. Really appreciate you, Joan.
There was organizing before social media. Let's not forget.
Yeah, do you guys remember flyers? Or this is what I was thinking about, bulletin boards in a coffee shop? Hello.
Well, you know, but COVID time kind of makes it super hard to do that, to connect, mm-hmm. to occupy, like, the physical space. And so, I don't know, kind of like the perfect breeding ground for this type of thing. You know, people have been unemployed for a long time. They're just kind of on social media. Some are becoming radicalized, some are not, you know. There's a lot of, yeah, so it's a kind of like a breeding ground for a lot of things to get created. But this is our conversation around social media and its accountability. Should it be held accountable? Is it being held accountable? We'd love to hear your thoughts and opinions. The phone number is 503-231-8187.
Nailed it.
Right. Good for me. Thank you.
Yeah, give us a call. We'd love to hear what you have to say. 503-231-8187. Yeah, it's really interesting, especially with the coronavirus kind of like lens lumped on top of everything, that mm-hmm. social media, I'd be curious to know what social media growth has been over coronavirus, because it has become really like ubiquitous, you know, that's how we communicate with each other. And even if you're not on Instagram, you're probably using some kind of video conferencing to talk to your family, or I don't know, play a board game with your friend, or continue your D&D campaign. Like, those are all things that have become more prescient in the COVID times.
Like you said, at its best, that's what it does, and at its worst, we kind of seen what that can do also, you know. Mm-hmm. I hear a lot of people say, you know, when this conversation comes around, this is a tool, much like a hammer. It can be built, it can be used to build, it can be used to destroy. But hammers have to go through, you know, like quality control, you know, like a hammer has, it's not, you don't just create it and that's it.
Right.
Processes before it goes out to the market for, you know, people to use, you know, safety, you got to weigh it, all of these things. We do have another caller on the line. John, you with us?
I am.
How's it going?
I'm well. How are you all? Good to hear
it. I'm well, too.
Doing all right.
Okay. So I would have to say that after much thought for years and years, I would totally agree with everything Joan said. She's right. You know, people do not really need social media. They're used to it. It's easy and comfortable way to communicate. But with effort, one can do things like read books. I mean, right in front of me is, I've never read it all the way through before, but during the pandemic, I've been reading instead of watching. And this is Crime and Punishment by Dostoevsky.
Wow.
Totally applicable to the current situation, right, with commentary and all. You can learn a lot from books, much more than I think you can probably learn from listening to random people give their opinions. But, you know, radio certainly has its uses. You can listen to smart people say things that you might not have heard of before. But social media, it seems like a substitute for something that we're lacking. It's really not there yet somehow. And thank you very much for listening. Bye-bye.
All right.
Appreciate you, John.
Thank you, John, for listening to KBOO and to The Gap.
Well, I think it brings up another one of our old episodes. Right at the end there, John was talking about that it's a substitute for something else that we're lacking. I was thinking about the Bowling Alone, talking about Robert Putnam's.
Robert Putnam, great guy.
Yeah.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, celebrated Professor Robert Putnam. I think that it brings up something interesting, in that even before social media is as, you know, big and important as it is now, that there was, you know, an erosion of community and, you know, neighborliness, as we often talk about on this show, that maybe social media has become a kind of placeholder for that, for those kinds of relationships that otherwise would have been formed in person at your church service or at the Elks Lodge or whatever, or bowling alone,
especially during the pandemic. And I might have to disagree with you on that one. I think that there's something to be said about, again, occupying the physical space, you know, like accidentally brushing up against someone or like seeing someone sneeze and saying bless you, you know, like just these little things that create trust or bonds between human beings that you just can't get through the internet. Well, I don't know. I do have some friends that I met off the internet that, you know, we never met in real life, and we talk all the time, like for years, you know. So I know there has to be a couple, I don't say everyone, but a lot of people that I know have at least one person on their friends list that they've never met, but they just vibe with, you know, and they may live thousands of miles away, but there's just this connection, and you may have met on like a forum that you both like, but it doesn't, if that's the type of friendship and bonds that we like, that we have to look forward to, that kind of makes me sad. And
yeah, I mean, I think that it's a total substitute, but that it does play that role for some people sometimes, you know, if you like live in a really remote town, like finding people who are similar to you, who have similar interests, that's something that the internet has afforded people that, and social media has afforded, that hasn't necessarily existed on the same scale or with the same, you know, ease that it did in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. There's at its best, it can be one thing, and at its worst, it can be another, which I guess it's not really like a valid argument because that could be said about anything. But there's these, especially now with the pandemic and us being on lockdown for 11 months. I really miss those like little human interactions, you know, that's just like the not perfect, the non-planned human interactions that just happen by being together. But yeah, Robert Putnam, Bowling Alone, there's a lot of interesting points that were made there. It was before the internet even came around. And Dr. Putnam said, Robert Putnam said that he actually had to rewrite the book, but realized that his book didn't have to get, you know, edit too much out or add too much in, because it pretty much still held water, you know, because community is community and we need it, and the substitute isn't necessarily the thing that's going to make a difference. It's just, you know, the fact that we do need each other, you know, like like the, what's his name, the greatest person, the greatest neighbor that the world has ever seen,
Mr. Rogers.
I don't know why I'm thinking Roger. Yes, thank you. I was thinking Roger Waters, and I don't think he's a great neighbor at all.
I mean, he's a pretty cool guy, but you know, David Gilmour might disagree with me on that, but
we're bringing up a lot.
I had a thought when you were saying before, Tammy, that like social media, that people consider it to be a tool, right? And it can be used for one thing or another. But I wonder, but like likening it to a hammer is also designed to complete a certain task, right? And I don't know, and maybe what the conversation is, maybe what we should be talking about is, how do we make social media work for us? Is it actually that tool that does the thing that we want it to do? Does it perform its good elements well enough that if somebody uses it to, I don't know, bust down a window, then it's okay? And I think because the growth has been so organic and, you know, kind of like, you know, cribbing elements from other social media platforms where people seem to really be responding to the idea that you can, I don't know, have a face filter on Instagram, like that is what predominates as like what's popular rather than, you know, kind of like a normative, does this yield good results?
If that's what they cared about, that's probably what they would do. Because again, these companies put millions into development in order to keep us, you know, on there more. But and that's because their bottom line is it's money, you know, and expanding. And how far? I mean, if you're Jeff Bezos or Mr. Zuckerberg, how much before it's enough? At this point, you're almost playing, like, you know, you're playing some sort of deity, you know, like some sort of political deity now, and
yeah,
like, you know, you said earlier, too little, too late.
he's already beat his own high score. We do have a caller on the line, Jerry.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Hi, I was wondering if you could speak to, I was listening just for the last 15 minutes, but could maybe speak to your thoughts on how social media and games are designed to be addictive?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Again, there's a great book by Tim Wu called Attention Merchant, where he describes how these, how their millions of dollars are being put into, you know, how to keep someone occupied on the internet, you know, social media specifically. Famously, I forgot his name, but the developer that created the code that, you know, when you swipe down and there's the endless feed. The person that created that, just, he said that he's so sorry that he created that code because he saw immediately what it did and how people became even more. I mean, the fact that Facebook used to have perimeters around it, like at the end of your feed, it would say there's nothing more to see. Now, no social media is going to say, oh, no, we ran out of things for you to look at.
Yeah, that's no about way. Enough. You've done enough today, yeah. I think.
You've done enough today. Go home. Go read a book. No, that's not. And it's everything from, you know, like learning patterns, algorithms. I mean, it's scary how much gets put into it. But again, we're giving out all of this information, like the first caller said, Joan said, we are creating all of this information for them to then mine and then make it so that we stay on there longer with the end result of maybe buying something off of Fashion Nova. You know, like, it just,
right.
It makes no sense. Well, it, you know, that's what it's for now, but, you know, obviously it's being used for other things, like, just naturally that's how the things develop, like, you know, high tech develops, it goes, you know, kind of testing ground, and then it becomes more
and I think it goes towards how people are becoming more polarized. I would love to see, I'm off social media, that was my New Year's resolution, and our house is screen free, including children. You just get more creative and just kind of reach out and connect with people in person. You know, even though you're wearing a mask, like you said, you can still have these little tiny interactions and smile and, you know, sort of try to connect with people that way. But yeah, I think this, with the pandemic, it's just becoming, it's just a lot easier for people to slip into, you know, being on their phone. And not necessarily, I'm not saying that it's necessarily a bad thing. You know, you can connect with on video to see somebody's face and your family or friends or like across the world, but I mean, really it's about trying to be creative to make those connections. And
right.
One person, his name's Kim John Payne, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he's written a book called Simplicity Parenting, and he's got a bunch of podcasts that you can listen to, and it just talks about really what you can do and how you can be more connected without having really any screens in your house and or junk, you know.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Well, I appreciate you bringing it up.
That comment.
Yeah.
All right.
One thing that it made me think of when you're talking about the, like, the addictiveness is especially, I mean, circling back to the role that social media has played in the recent insurrection, and with people who believe these conspiracy theories, particularly QAnon, is that, you know, QAnon is the conspiracy theory that sucks up every other conspiracy theory as part of it. And so you can start out as being somebody who doesn't really understand the coronavirus, doesn't really want to wear a mask, and, you know, searching up content like that, finding articles that agree with your perspective, can then, you know, pull you down this rabbit hole because the algorithm is feeding you more things that it thinks you will be interested in, into this place that is entirely, like, post-fact, like, not related to reality at all. This myth of everything that QAnon believes, but it can suck you in that way from any number of, you know, entry points of trying to find information that's related to you. And I think that's another aspect of, like, that it's designed to be so addictive that, you know, you're searching anti-vax things, you're never going to reach an endpoint that's like, well, actually, you know, anti-vax has been well disproven and we're not going to, and there's not any more to show you down this rabbit hole. It's like, oh, you're anti-vax, well, have you heard about this thing? You know, sucking you down that rabbit hole, I think, is an interesting kind of, like, lens to look at this with.
Yeah, and again, these are private businesses. I said it once, I'll say it again. They have no allegiance to the people, you know, because why would you, like, in my personal opinion, it's not good to get, you fall into a rabbit hole, understood, but you get stuck into it, you get pulled further and further, like, that's, I don't know, I feel like that's negligent. That's almost, I think that that's when these companies need to be held accountable, you know?
Yeah, and when it's, like, you know, playing on people's worst fears. And insecurities, which is where a lot of these, like, conspiracy theories are grounded. It's troublesome. Anyway, we are coming up on the end of our time here. I want to thank everybody for listening to The Gap on this final Friday before inauguration, right? That's a thing that's happening.
Yeah. And MLK Day is on Monday the 18th.
Oh, yeah, talk about that.
Oh, there's going to be a live stream of the annual MLK celebrations. It's going to be a little different, but KBOO is going to be airing it starting at 12 p.m. That's noon. And you can tune in and enjoy yourself. I'm Tammy. This is The Gap. Online with me is Althea. Sonia, the one and only. Thank you all so much. Have a great weekend. Take care of yourselves and each other.
Thanks, all. Have a good weekend.
This is KBOO Portland. It's Friday. It's third Friday. It's 9 a.m. Time for the Veterans Voice with Marvin Simmons. Keep it locked right here on your Community Connection.